Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. Hour number 2, and I get the feeling just based off social media, a lot of people are tuning in right now, Elliot, because I talked about our text message at the start of the show. I just, you know, basically, because there's a lot of rumors, like Craig says at the start of the show, like before the show, what's all the talk with Anaheim? So I sent Elliot a message and said, why are we hearing Anaheim and Jack heating up? They're definitely interested. Is it as close as people are making it? Zegerson number 3 and ... Not sure yet. Definitely talking. I said, be sure by 11. And he joins us now, Elliot Friedman. What's going on, Elliot?
Not much. Not much, guys. No news going on out of Buffalo. It's all quiet.
Yeah. Well, don't stop there. Don't stop there. Tell us
a couple of things. Number one, just on the coaching thing, I believe that Kevin Adams and Don Granato had a meeting yesterday. No finality there yet. I think people are just being careful about the information that they're giving out. But I know they did meet yesterday. I know they had a conversation about where things were headed. I don't think there's a final decision yet, but I know they met yesterday with Adams to fill in Granato about, you know, where things were kind of going. As for Eichel, look, I do believe it's heating up. I think that I believe the Sabres' preference is to send Eichel west. Some of the Eastern teams I've spoken to or have heard from say they can tell that the Sabres are not as thrilled with the idea of him being in the same division and or conference. So they don't, I think some of the Eastern teams believe that if they're going to get it, it's really going to cost them. So I think that's kind of where it stands right now. And don't forget Reinhart here. I think there's a lot of talk about Reinhart too.
Any teams mentioned in the Reinhart situation? Like what teams have acquired about him?
Well, you know, put it this way. I think that Anaheim is in on both players. Now, I don't think they'd get both. I don't think you guys would be doing that. But I do think that Anaheim has talked about both Reinhart and Eichel. I think there's a lot. We've talked about Columbus at length. I think Columbus is a team that's really looked hard at Reinhart and really likes Reinhart. But I think there's several. I think there's some teams in Western Canada. I think there's, you know, several teams. Like there's a lot of interest in Reinhart. I think the difference between Reinhart and Eichel, there's two things. Number one, there's the injury status. And number two, you know, some teams won't be scared of Eichel's tag. They like the fact he's signed. Some teams like the fact that they can deal with Reinhart themselves about what kind of long-term contract they want to give him. I think there's, you know, different comfort levels with the situation surrounding both players. And I think a lot of the teams that are in on Eichel might also be on Reinhart if they don't get Eichel.
Ellie, is there ever a world that you could see Anaheim pick up both Jack and Sam?
I mean, it could always happen, Craig. I just think you could probably get more. You could probably get more if you dealt them separately. One person did tell me they think that there's a possibility that Ristolainen could potentially be in a trade with one of the two of them. They said that was a more likely scenario because they believe there was at least one team that had asked the Sabres about that.
John Hovind again. Yes. Yeah. Second week in a row, we brought him up while you've been on, because when we've talked, I mean, back when you dropped the bomb a while ago about the Sabres potentially, you could see them moving on from Jack. We started talking about teams, and LA came up.
By the way, I got to tell you something. Like last week, I didn't think I said anything that was new or even incredibly groundbreaking, and it went bananas. Like I had people texting me, "What are you saying about Eichel? What did you say about Eichel?" I said, "I don't think I said anything that was really that much of a surprise, but I guess people just love news."
When you have millions and millions of followers listening every day, 10 to 12, then yeah. Things happen.
I guess that's the case, Craig. I guess yeah.
They hang on your every word, Elliot.
Yeah.
That's scary, man. Not even my wife listens to me.
is it John Hovind? Is it John Hovind, right?
Yeah.
So John Hovind, he said, have to hand it to the Sabres and or Eichel's camp for continuing to link him to LA through the media. For what it's worth, I've checked and rechecked multiple times with various sources. Nothing has changed from what was written below. And basically what below is that Kings have other plans.
You know, I think that's possible. Like I said, I think John is really plugged into the Kings there. You know, I will say this, there are people who believe the Kings are completely lying. You know, I mean, we'll find out. When I first broke into the business, guys, I covered basketball, and Isaiah Thomas was the first ever general manager of the Raptors. And he gave me a piece of advice I've always remembered. And he said, Elliot, around the draft, everyone lies. So the sooner you understand and accept that, the better off you're going to be. And, you know, I think that's true. Like, people throw up a lot of, you know, it might end up like, look, like I've said this a million times, I'll say it again. If John's reporting that, somebody there is telling him that. He's not making this stuff up. I do recognize that teams use smoke screens, and there's a value of smoke screens, and it does happen. We'll see. We'll see. But put it this way. I think there's a lot of interest in your guys. And like I reported this week, there's teams that believe Buffalo will get a second high first rounder at least, in addition to the one that they already have. I definitely think Anaheim's in the middle of this. I think Columbus you have something that Columbus wants, and that's centers. You know, LA.
Like, now, center when you're talking Sam Reinhardt center, or are you talking Jack Eichel center?
Sam, center.
I think more like put it this way. I think there are teams who look at Reinhardt and think he can play center for them. Yeah. And we've talked about this. Columbus likes Reinhardt a lot. The other thing too is, and this is kind of interesting, I was talking about this with someone yesterday about the Sabres, is the Sabres don't seem to be incredibly intimidated about this draft. There are a lot of teams that are really wary of this draft because, you know, they haven't seen a lot of the players. And apparently what you guys have said is we could get a second high pick because of that. And we better know the players. We better make sure that we're on top of this. And so I think there are teams out there who might not value their picks as much as they have in other drafts or would next year, simply because of the added crapshoot that this draft is going to be.
Elliot Friedman joining the Instigators here, as he always does, Thursdays at 11. We're talking about just things heating up surrounding the Sabres when it comes to Jack Eichel and other players, but Anaheim in particular. Now, Elliot, your phone has beeped twice.
You know what everybody's texting me about?
I know what they're saying.
What?
We're listening to you on the Instigators right
now. No, they're not saying that. They're all texting about Jeff Petrie's eyes.
Yeah, well,
that's what everybody is talking about.
I love how his wife sent the cover-up text. No, it's not from a night out in Vegas. No, it's not. Hey, like, she made sure that everybody.
No, I have to tell you, I give Julie Petrie a lot of credit for that, because that was, and I know sometimes that kind of stuff drives teams crazy, but I thought she handled that terrific. Like, everybody on social media is talking about that last night, and she disarmed it. And I actually thought the team should have been quicker with a statement. Like, the moment that, like, Kyle, I think, updated it in the third period. I think from the moment that game started, the team should have been, and they realized it was going viral, that should have gone out. Like, you can't let that sit for 2 hours. You have to have, like, an explanation for it.
Yeah, there probably should have been some kind of a press release. Like, hey, everyone be aware. You might
Or just saying, hey, like, internally, what I was thinking about this, because you know, you guys know you can't guess about health. Like if Craig blocks a shot with his foot and he's struggling to get off the ice, we can all simply say, oh, he's injured with a foot. But you see that and like I'm sitting here and people are like, what is that? And I'm like, we can't guess. You can't guess on that. And, you know, for 2 hours, we're all sitting here going,
a sick look right there.
What is this? And everybody's talking about, we see it. We see all your tweets. We see all the viral comments. And I thought she did a really good thing because she took the edge off the whole conversation. She kind of made some jokes about it. And I thought she handled it really well.
Well, I honestly think when we saw it and I saw it in the group chat, I was like, what did I say? I said, he's been puking. But I didn't know, right? I mean, he blew some blood vessels in his eyes. Hey, just letting you know that I don't know if this was news before you came on, Elliot, but Brendan Moore and the Canes agreed to a three-year deal.
He's holding a media conference right now. That was just as I came on here, and it was expected. I think there were teams that wanted to talk about him, but, you know, to talk to him just to gauge his interest, but I don't think I think it was Carolina or nothing for Brendan Moore.
Do we know what his contract status looks like?
It's a 3-year deal. And I believe the number is 1.8 million.
What? 1.8?
Yes.
No way.
I'm telling you, I think that's what it is.
Per year?
Yeah.
Wow, there are going to be some coaches out there, aren't there?
How many pissed off coaches right now?
Well, you know, it's a good conversation because we reported this a while ago and there were some. And I got to tell you guys, like, I'm torn on this one. I will say that he took some heat from coaches. There were coaches who complained. There were coaches who were upset. I'm torn on this one. I'm very careful. I never want, not that I'm making what you guys ever made, but, you know, I never want anyone to use my salary to hold down other people. And I'm very conscious of that. But I also think that you reach a point where you say, like, this is about my family and my comfort and it's my life. And I make the decisions I make for my family now. And that's ultimately what Brendan Moore did here. Now, you know, I had another coach say to me, well, you know, it's fine to have that opinion. But what if my owner comes to me and says, well, Rod Brendan Moore is making 1.8 and you're not Rod Brendan Moore. And I said, what I would argue is that that is a unique situation. And he is doing that because of his family. And I don't think it's fair for you to use that situation as a comparable. I read a book a few years ago. And I would advise everyone to read it because it really improved my ability to negotiate. It's by by an NBA agent. He represented Michael Jordan, among others. His name is David Falk. And the book is called The Bald Truth. And it talked about this kind of a situation, about how teams would come to him and say, well, this guy on this team makes X. There's no way that your guy could make more than that on our team. And he would say, that's their situation. That's not your situation. And I've always thought that that was a great piece of advice.
I really admire Rod the Bod for doing that, to be honest with you. I know why Craig said how many pissed off coaches are there, because that's the first thing I said too, but I don't know. There's a loyalty to it. And I kind of like that. We don't see enough of this in sports. We always see someone jump for the bigger contract and leave because he could have made five. I mean, what do I know? I don't know that for sure, but I would imagine he could have made $3 million as a coach.
Put it this way. If he ended up in New York, it was going to be a big number.
What's Gallant getting?
About 3.5.
Bigger than that?
I think so.
Wow. Craig, you ever think about getting back into coaching or getting into coaching?
Listen, I mean, I think it's I can totally understand it and but it's a little head scratching for sure. I mean,
Craig, the things we do for our families, man.
Yeah.
Families first. You know, it's
absolutely. I'm sure that he is in a very comfortable situation in Carolina, played there a long time. That's who he is. But, you know, his market and his level of earning power is tremendous. I mean, it's shocking. Like $1.8 million to me is almost shocking. If you were to tell me that he is making $3 million, I still believe he's grossly underpaid.
Yeah, I could.
Because when you have guys in the market of what has been paid over the last number of years for elite high-end NHL coaches, you're looking at anywhere from $4 to $7 million. And now we're looking at Rod Brenemore, who is arguably, you would have to put him up as one of the elite coaches in the game, is making, you know, half of fraction of that.
Speaking of coaches, Elliot, the Sabres requested to speak to Jack Capuano, the assistant coach in Ottawa, and that was denied. And I mean, is it true that he's unhappy about that?
Yes, that is true. Yes.
That's it. That's all you're going to say on that. Eh?
Well, look, I think, because I don't know where the situation is going to go. Like, sometimes people go into the cone of silence. You know, I think he is unhappy about it. And I think he voiced his displeasure. I heard he did. I think he told the Senators he was very upset.
And as he should be. I mean, I don't understand. Yeah. Like, even if it's like, who knows where the interview goes? I don't understand why anybody would be denied a higher position on another team.
Well, I'll give you an example. There are situations where a team gets.
Do you maybe have to get that beep, Elliot? It's starting to sound a little more serious.
No, it's not. It's people ripping me. It's pretty funny.
What are they ripping you about?
My appearance right now. Some buddies in Western New York are like, your backyard is much more attractive than the guy sitting in it and stuff like that. I'm getting that. You know, I think that the only reason that I like the Senators say it's an organizational policy where if you're under contract, they don't let you interview elsewhere. And I'm pretty sure of at least one other case where I know that to be true. However, my personal feeling on this, and it's generally the way I've learned, is that if you refuse someone the opportunity to interview somewhere else, they better be due a promotion in your organization.
Yeah.
Like Kyle Dubas, the Maple Leafs, when Colorado was going to hire him as GM a few years ago, they changed their minds at the last minute and said no. And there's actually a story I heard that when Mike Babcock heard about that, he was still the coach at the time, he walked into and basically said, so Kyle's our next GM, right? Like, you can't refuse him to go unless you're promoting him. And that's what happened. So I'm kind of wondering, is this just Ottawa's feelings on the matter? Nobody interviews? Or are they saying, we need him here in case we need him as head coach?
Elliot Friedman joining us here on the Instigators. I have one question about Jack Eichel before we move on to something else, Elliot.
Yeah.
So if the Anaheim stuff is somewhat true.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's definitely true. Like they're talking to him. They're talking to Buffalo about him. Okay. I know you sent me like Zegras in number 3. I don't know if it's that. I would believe the third pick would be in play potentially. The thing about Zegras is they really made a big pitch at Pierre-Luc Dubois from Columbus before he was sent to Winnipeg, and they refused to include Zegras or Drysdale in that trade. So, you know, I just don't know. It could be, I just don't know.
Well, my question was this. So it was more about number 9 in your 31 thoughts was about asking around to see if the Sabres gave anyone permission to talk to Jack Eichel and things like that. And I just wonder if maybe that's changed in 48 hours or
if
something
it has, if it has, I don't know about it yet.
Okay. Fair enough.
Like the one thing I can tell you guys and all everybody here on the audience is, as you know, there was a lot of reporting done about Eichel's health and the situation that he found himself in and the procedure he wanted to do versus how the team felt. I know that both the Sabres and Eichel and Eichel's representatives, Peter Fish, they felt that they didn't want as much of this in the public domain. They thought, okay, all this got out there. Now we got to kind of cut it down. And they've tried their best to keep it quieter since then.
It certainly has been quiet. That's when you're dealing with not even Jack, Sam Ristolainen, it's relatively been very, very quiet. I'm going to have one more question for you.
Okay.
The question is, what is the likelihood? What is your thought, the percentage of Jack, Sam, and Ristolainen being traded before this year's draft?
You know, I think it's all going to happen around the draft. Like, it's possible if the Sabres really want to accumulate picks. You know, this whole thing about this year's draft is really fascinating to me because it fits with the way Moneyball was created, the whole Moneyball idea from the Oakland A's, and that is you exploit something that other people don't value. And one of the things that I'm seeing here is that the Sabres are prepared to value this year's draft a bit more than some other teams are. There are teams who are not afraid to trade picks this year or willing to trade picks this year because they're not as confident about the draft. And the Sabres are kind of looking at it like, hey, maybe we can get an edge here by making sure we know this draft really well. So I think, Craig, I don't want to put a number on it, but I think it's very possible it happens because the Sabres are preparing as if they will have this eventuality of a second top 10 pick.
They should know a lot of these. Jeremiah Crow will know a lot of these players. They're right in his wheelhouse in age, right? So, I mean, that's beneficial for them, too.
It's your job to know.
These beeps will be mine, Elliot. That's me.
Put your phone on mute. You sound like my podcast producer.
June 17th, 1994. Does that day mean anything to you?
June 17th, 1994. Was that the last day of the Stanley Cup final in 94?
No, it wasn't. That's a hell of a guess. I'll tell you what happened on June 17th, 1994.
Because that was like the Knicks were in the NBA final. There was the OJ chase. There was a big U.S. Was that Arnold Palmer's last U.S. Open too?
Are you reading this? Come on, you're not.
No. No. ESPN did a 30 for 30 on. No. I swear to God, if I didn't know, I would admit it. But remember, ESPN did a big 30 for 30 on one day in June, and it was Arnold Palmer's last U.S. Open. It was the Knicks in the NBA final. It was the Rangers in the Stanley Cup final, and it was the OJ chase.
27 years ago today, all of that. And Ken Griffey Jr. ties most homers before June 30th.
I would never have remembered that one.
Yeah, never. But U.S. hosts its first World Cup soccer.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Palmer played his final U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. OJ's chase, game 5 of the 94 finals, and the Rangers Stanley Cup parade, all in one day.
So that was all today?
That was all today.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I was doing, but I know when the OJ chase was going on because I remember watching it in our living room. It's amazing when it's one of those things where you just remember where you are.
Oh, like, yeah.
Everybody was watching that.
Yeah.
Like they interrupted the finals for that, if I'm not mistaken. I believe they went to, they talked about it all in that 30 for 30, but
yeah, I didn't remember the soccer. I didn't remember Griffey, but I do remember that 30 for 30. It was unbelievable.
If that chase alone doesn't spell guilt, I don't know what does, you know, and he still gets off. Anyway, Elliot, fantastic as usual.
I just want to say one thing,
please.
I'm looking at Riv's golf shirt. Where is my Instigator swag?
In the mail right now as we speak.
Like, do you have like a baseball shirt or anything like that? Like, I love like three-quarter sleeves and stuff like that.
You see that shirt you have on right there?
Yeah.
Where does that zip down to? Now you got to get that one.
I gotta show you. Gotta get this.
Does that go right down?
How does that look?
I have an Instigator.
This is a bad idea. Showing my chest hair on the Instigators.
Well, we've shown more than that. Craig had his thigh out the other day. But yes, we will send you one. We definitely have one we can send you. So
okay.
You have to wear it.
This was an important call.
Okay, now who was it?
You just read it.
I'm not telling you.
Just read it. What division is he in?
Pacific.
Craig's shaking his head, wondering who's in the Pacific. That would be Anaheim, LA.
I couldn't even tell you. All right,
Elliot, go take your call. We'll watch for you on Twitter.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, thanks very much. Elliot Friedman, every Thursday right here at 11 o'clock. And he's Elliot Friedman with the blue check mark on Twitter at Fried, GEHNIC. And we will be right back, Instigators, WGR 550 MSG.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.